हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so now we have the Pandavas, now they're at Varnavata, by Duryodhana's plan to just get them out of the palace, out of the city. So if they're not there, then people will be focusing on Duryodhana. He'll go out, give charity, recognize people for their various accomplishments and talents, and in this way try to win over the people so that they are more favorable to the Kauravas, because as it is now, they're favorable to the Pandavas. And so then, now they've gotten them to go, because Yudhishthira understands that there's some trick here. And, you know, better they go along and see what's happening on the way, because Vidura then, you know, gives some indication he's helping. So then they get to the place, they stay, the chief of the town and all that has them stay at their place for some time. Then when their place is ready at Varnavata, you know, that the house of lack, then they go there, understand that it's, you know, something flammable. Bhima wants to, you know, go back to where they were staying because that's there. But Yudhishthira makes the point that the plan is that they live in the house of lack, and then Purochana will light it on fire, so they know exactly where the crime is to be committed and who's going to commit it and how it's being done. While if they then go back to the chief's house, they won't know what he'll try, because then he has to just try any option. So it'll be actually they're more aware here, especially since Vidura said he's making some arrangements like that. So then now Purochana has brought them in, showed him the place, asked him to be comfortable and all, and then he's gone, you know, whatever he does, he's left the room. So now the Pandavas discuss. When Purochana left, the brothers spoke openly together. Yudhishthira said they should dig a tunnel under the house in order to escape when the time came. That was what Vidura had instructed. Bhima and Arjuna wondered why they should live in fear of Duryodhana. Why not challenge him outright? Bhima was especially angry, remembering the times when Duryodhana had tried to poison him. He slapped his biceps and said menacingly, "Just order me, brother. I shall immediately crush the Kauravas with my bare hands." You know, like that. You know, so I slapped it. He went through the whole thing. So then, you know, they're very strong. And so he's just saying, you know, Arjuna's saying, you know, with his ability and Bhima, just the two of them, because we see when they fought with Drupad, then basically the main two of them were fighting. Though, of course, the twins were there to back them up, but they'll still be there to back them up. Placating his furious brothers, Yudhishthira said, "No, we should not challenge the Kauravas at this time. Our position was in no way equal to theirs. They are 100, we are 5, right? So they are quite talented. There's 100 of them, there's only 5. Plus they have their facilities, they have their allies, and that which the Pandavas don't. Because they've never seen the need to act in a political way. Because they were there at the palace, they were taking care of Bhishma, and Drona and Vidura were taking care. And Yudhishthira was made the crown prince. So then it's just natural then, you know, once that starts, he's the crown prince, now he'll start, you know, developing the circle of influence. But before that could happen, Duryodhana has made this plan and got rid of him. So then that shows that Duryodhana is in a stronger position. They may be better fighters, but still their position of the Duryodhana, his brothers, are stronger. Dhritarashtra will never abandon his sons. Bhishma and Drona will always stand by the king. We cannot confront the Kurus directly. See, so what he's pointing out is that they're looking at it that Bhima and Drona support the Pandavas, which they do. But at the same time, is they're committed to the throne. So if it's just personal in-house stuff, they're always going to support the Pandavas. But if it comes down to actual war, actual fighting, then Bhima and Drona are going to have to take the side of the crown, which means Duryodhana. So that means Duryodhana and his brothers, yes, they could easily defeat. But now, if they actually, it's a formal a war, then that means now you add Bhima and Bhishma into this. Excuse me, Drona and Bhishma into this. That's something that would be difficult to contend with. So he's pointing out we're not that strong at this point. The twins suggested that immediately fly from Varanavata. Yudhishthira again disagreed. Once he knows we are running in fear, Duryodhana will use spies and agents to find us and kill us by any devious means possible. Right. So since he thinks that then again, they'll just find anything, and wherever they find him when they're not least looking for it. It's like here, and they know it's Parochana. So if they keep guard on that, they can see when Parochana is going to do things. They can make arrangements because they already know the plan. See, Parochana doesn't know they know the plan. Duryodhana doesn't know they know the plan. So then if they dig a tunnel to get out, then you know, they just have to be aware of when he starts the fire, and then they can go. Yudhishthira decided the best hope lay in living in the Lakh house, seemingly unaware of the danger. Remaining constantly alert, they should prepare an escape tunnel under the house. They should also spend their days hunting in the woods and looking for a route that would take them away from the city. Right? Because as the princes, then if they go hunting and go out for walks in the forest, that's standard. Kshatriyas do that all the time. You see that when they're in in Indraprastha, then Krishna and Arjuna would go for walks along the Yamuna, you know, where we saw before that Duryodhana and the Pandavas, they go down to the Yamuna and swim and sport and play games. So it's natural for the Kshatriyas to get out and just walk around and to go out hunting. So just by walks, they can tell what's going on around, where the forest, where the paths are, which are the ways, what leads to what direction. But at the same time, if they go hunting, they can't hunt right next to the house. They have to go actually into the forest. So going into the forest, then they also have a reason to find out what's going on, what are the directions and all that. So in this way, because Duryodhana doesn't know that they know, then they have the advantage because now they can make their plans and Duryodhana won't know they're making plans. When Parochana set light to the house, they could escape without anyone knowing. Duryodhana would think them dead and would not pursue them, right? So Yudhishthira's idea is that they're going to escape. So then to escape, then they have to, Duryodhana has to think they're dead. If he thinks they're dead, he's not going to send out spies and try to find them. He's just going to you know, think that he'll just go on with his life and everything like this. But if they run away and it's known they disappeared, then Duryodhana is going to look for them. His brothers agreed, right? So in other words, that Kshatriya spirit's there to go and fight and all that. You see, Karna had that spirit. Bhishma has, Bhima has, Arjuna has. But Yudhishthira, it's not that he doesn't have the fighting spirit. It's just that he's very cool-headed, so then he thinks about all these things nicely, being the incarnation of Dharmaraj. So therefore, he knows all the dharmas, all the rules and that, and what's the best. Because Shastra explains how things work. And then within that, knowing that, you apply that knowledge to the situation you're in. Right? Let's say the Shastra gives 100 different rules on how material nature works. You know, what are the situations, what you do, what if this is there, what you do, if that's there, what you do. So now, whatever situation you're in, some of those rules will apply because you're in the material world, right? It's Krishna's laws governing the material world. You're in the material world. Therefore, then you see, okay, these three rules apply to this situation. Or the situation changes. Now, two of those rules and now another two rules apply in this situation. So Yudhishthira is always thinking like that. So it's not that he's just being political I mean, thinking of the political aspects or the practical aspects because of cowardice, you know, or because of diplomatic nature like Duryodhana has. He's using his intelligence. And by using that, then you can apply your power and strength very properly. His brothers agreed. They searched the house for a place to dig the tunnel. As they were looking, a man came to the house and introduced himself as a friend of Vidura. He told Yudhishthira that he was a skilled miner and had been sent there by Vidura, who had informed him that on a new moon night, Purochana planned to set fire to their house. Yudhishthira looked at the man carefully, right? So this man comes, he's a miner, means he knows how to dig tunnels underground. Because when you mine, you have to dig underground to find where all, you know, the gold and jewels and everything are. So it's not just you can dig a hole, you have to know how to dig the hole, how to support the hole, how to do everything so that the hole doesn't collapse. How big it has to be, what the curvature is, how big the hole can be, all these different things he knows. And he says that Vidura sent him, and he's informed that on a new moon night, so that, you know, when the moon's dark, it's completely dark, no one can see anything. So then people, you know, won't go out and all that. See, if it's a full moon, people may go out for a stroll, but a dark moon, they don't generally go out. So that would be the proper time. Yudhishthira looked at the man carefully. Was this yet another of Duryodhana's deceits? The miner reassured him by mentioning the incident when Vidura had spoken to him in the tribal dialect. Yudhishthira then welcomed him and warmly replied, right? Because we are ever protected by the virtuous Vidura. It is our good fortune that you have come here. The wicked and sinful Duryodhana has had this house constructed from all sorts of flammable materials. Using wealth and allies, he pursues us relentlessly. Right. So whatever is at Duryodhana's disposal, or you know what facilities he has, he uses it just to establish himself and to sideline the Pandavas. While Yudhishthira, if he has that same wealth, he used that for establishing the kingdom, protecting the citizens. Not that Duryodhana won't do it on the side, but his main focus is him being king, not he's, you know, has a responsibility to protect the public. So that Vidura is there, and he's taking care, and then the miner then related that incident about Vidura speaking in the tribal accent, because no one else knew about this, and no one understood it, but he understands what's there, so then he understands that's the secret, how you know, that's the code that you understand that he's bona fide. The miner said he would begin construction of a subterranean passage immediately. He began to dig from the center of the house and carefully covered the hole with planks and a large rug. Because right, the center of the house, you don't necessarily go into as much. That'll be the big open area that'll be used for special occasions or big kind of things like that. The living quarters would be all around the edges. Because around the edges, then you have the windows out and things like that. The hallways in the middle will generally be a bigger. So he started from there. And then there you can cover it with planks and a large rug. Because if it's a small rug, you could move it. But one of these really big rugs, you're not going to move. You have to bring so many servants and do things like that. So it's a very good way to. In other words, you're hiding something in plain sight. So that's the best thing. Because hiding it away where people think you'll hide it. But if you hide it right in front of people, they won't necessarily think it's there. As the miner worked, the Pandavas spent their days wandering in the surrounding woods. They soon ascertained a route leading away from Varnavata through the forest. Right, because you have the main roads that go out, like that, that go into Varnavata, that go out to other cities and like that. But those ones you can't take. People are on them. Spies will be there. People will see. So they have to see a route that they can go through the forest that no one will know about. While living in the house, the brothers gave Purochana the appearance of being peaceful and happy so as not to arouse his suspicions. But at night they slept with weapons at the ready, one of them always remaining alert in case Purochana made an unexpected move. No one but the miner knew of their plans. Right, so they're playing as they're dealing as if they're completely relaxed in that, doing regular things, interacting with Purochana, that he's been sent, you know, by Dhritarashtra to take care and all that since they're there. And so everything goes nice. But at night, then they have their weapons ready. They sleep, four of them sleep, but the fifth one is awake. He's attentive. And if any, so just in case anything happens. Some months passed in this way. Purochan was satisfied, thinking the Pandavas unaware of his intentions, right? So he now thinks they're totally relaxed, completely unaware. Because when they first come, they'll be a little bit, you know, but just with time, they're just very, very, very comfortable. When Yudhishthir saw that the minister suspected nothing and trusted them completely, right? Because it goes both ways. He's also watching them, what they're doing. But then at some point he relaxes because, oh, they don't know what's going on. So he's checking, do they know? Have they figured out? But then, no, they don't know. And that, so he relaxes. So he's waiting for them to relax. And when he sees they're relaxed, he relaxes. That's then when Yudhishthir's plan will work. When Yudhishthir saw that the minister suspected nothing and trusted them completely, he said to his brothers, "Let us preempt Purochana before he can enact his plan. I think we should ourselves set light to the house and make our escape." Right? Because Purochana would set light, then you don't know when it is. You're in anxiety about that. If they light it, then the whole thing, it burns and all that, and then, of course, it's the work's done. So now, their plan is there. They have their tunnel. They know the means to escape, through the forest and everything like that. And Purochana, he is relaxed, so he's not going to be watching them. The tunnel was complete. Yudhishthir considered that their best hope lay in deceiving Duryodhana into thinking his plan had succeeded. That would allow the brothers to escape without being pursued. Right? Because if he thinks that, yes, they did burn in the fire, then it's case closed. Then Pandavas are gone, he can move on. They would then have time to consider their next move. After discussing all the angles, the brothers decided they would set fire to the house the next night. Right? So it must be coming up to that new moon night and that. So they've discussed it from all the angles to make sure all the different points are covered, because you make a plan, you have to see that all angles of it will work. And so that they're fully satisfied, then, now, the next night. The following day, a festival was being celebrated in Varnavata. Kunti distributed food and wealth to the Brahmins, right? So it's also, there's that festival and all these different things are happening because it's it's a place where it's a Shiva program, right? So then you have this festival. So then Shiva, that you generally use the dark moon night. Like you see with Vishnu, then it's always the full moon, But with Shiva, then it's the dark moon. So then it also, the festival is there. People are going to be thinking about the festival. No one's going to be thinking about anything else. No one's going to be watching the Pandavas. Purochana has relaxed his vigilance also. And so then it's the perfect timing. Kunti distributed food and wealth to the Brahmins, and many poor people came to the Pandavas' mansion to beg charity. By the arrangement of Providence, by Krishna's arrangement, a tribeswoman also arrived with her five sons. The servants Kunti had placed in charge of distributing food sat the woman and her sons down, then brought them food and large quantity of wine. Gradually they became drunk and fell asleep where they had been eating. The servants, unable to rouse them, decided to leave them there for the night, although the Pandavas were unaware of this. Right? So this is just by the arrangement of Krishna, that this tribal woman with her five sons, they came there, when they were distributing food. And they ate so much, drank so much, that they got so tired and sleepy that they just fell asleep right there. The servants that were in charge of distributing the food tried to wake them up, but they couldn't. And so they just thought that they'll just sleep there, right? The Pandavas didn't know this, though. So it wasn't that Duryodhana, he'd make plans like that. But the Pandavas, they're not going to disturb anybody. Outside, as night fell, a storm blew up. The Pandavas sat together in the room waiting until they were sure that Purochana, who occupied the room by the door of the house, was asleep. Yudhishthir then instructed Bhima to set the house on fire. Right, so you had the festival, and so everyone's there. Then a storm comes up, so everyone's going to be in their houses, like that. Then Purochana, now it's time, you're going to go to sleep and all that. There's nothing more to do. He'll go to sleep. When he is, then Bhima took a torch, lit the door and several other places. So there's the door of the house. Pradochana is right at the door, because that's normally if someone's there is taking care of the house and doing all, they'd be at the door because they have to greet people that come, see the people that shouldn't be there, should be there, coming in and out. But at the same time, is by the other ways, he knows what the Pandavas are doing. So if you set light to the door of the house, Pradochana can't get out, right? And he doesn't know about any other way out, right? He doesn't know. And then for the Pandavas, you light the whole house around so it burns nicely, but in the center of the house, because that's an open area, then you can go out through there, right? So then it's perfect for them. That's why they didn't do it on the side, because that place might burn and they can't get to it. But the center of the house, that's the place you can access. As his brothers and Kunti made their way along the tunnel, he followed them quickly, and in moments the whole house was ablaze, right? Because it was made out of stuff that's just supposed to burn. So it's not that it'll take some time. Hearing the roar of the fire, right? Because it's a big, it's a mansion, so it's a very big place, and the whole thing's on fire, so it'll make a big, big sound. The citizens of Varnavata all came out and saw with horror the blazing mansion. They were aware of the rivalry between Duryodhana and the Pandavas. And they immediately guessed what had happened, right? So then they pondered and said, why would that place just burn up? Right? You know, what's the reason? This is undoubtedly Duryodhana's doing, they said. He has employed his evil minister to destroy the innocent and unsuspecting sons of Pandu. Fie upon that wicked man, whose understanding is so crooked, right? So they're basically dismissing or cursing Duryodhana. The bewailing people of the city surrounded the burning mansion and remain throughout the night, right? But it's such a big thing, they can't do it, you can't put that out. If it's a regular house, you could come and put it out. But this is just meant for burning, so it's such a big fire, no one can get close or anything. When the morning came, they threw water onto the embers and searched the burnt-out ruins. They found the remains of Purochana and also of the tribe's woman and her sons. Concluding that the Pandavas were dead, they lamented loudly, censuring Duryodhana and his father. Some of them even condemned Bhishma, Drona, and the other Kuru elders for allowing such a terrible thing to happen. Because of that commitment to protecting the throne, then that's okay as long as the throne is correct. But if the throne is wrong, then they have to. You have to ultimately see the bigger picture of the public and all that. So in that way, by the citizens blaming also Bhishma and Drona, then they're not wrong. Because I mean, they should do like that. But at the same time, you do have the thing of the word and the dedication and all that. So in that way, Bhishma and Drona are right that that's what they're supposed to do. So you see, it's this, always this balance between these two. The miner, who was present among the citizens, right, because he would be there and coming out, oh, what is this? Because no one knows what's going on, ensured that the searchers did not find the tunnel. Otherwise, then they'd know, oh, maybe they escaped and all that. But they found, you know, the tribal woman or five sons, maybe that's them, but maybe not. Maybe they escaped. Maybe this is someone, you know, like that. You don't want to create doubts. Thus, no one in Varnavata even guessed that the Pandavas were alive and that they were at that time making their way through the forest, right? So he comes, he knows where the tunnel is, and so he'll cover it and that and put things that are burnt and that over it. No one's going to look there. Then with time and all that, you know, it'll all wash in, the thing will cave in, and, you know, no one will know. The city leaders then sent messengers to Hastinapur with the news of the Pandavas' death. Right, so quite quickly someone would go. They go by their horses or like that, they give the message, and so within a short time they'll know. When Dhritarashtra heard the messengers from Varavata, he cried out in grief. Right? Alas, my brother Pandu has died again today because his heroic sons and their illustrious mother have been killed. What a cruel destiny. How can I face life without my gentle nephews? So because Duryodhana's plan was just to send him away, and he says they'll stay for some time, then we'll become strong in the people, then when they come back we'll be in the stronger political position, it doesn't matter about them. Or maybe something else will happen, who knows, time will, you know, they're just saying with time you don't know what will happen. He never told Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, that he's planning to burn the house and all. That was his side plan. So when he hears that, you know, he's lamenting because he had great affection for his brother, and now then the sons represent the father, and so now Pandu's sons are gone, so that means twice then Pandu has died in this way. And so he feels bad. In other words, he likes the Pandavas to be there. He just doesn't want them to be on the throne. He wants his son to be there. So in his mind, if Duryodhana was on the throne and the Pandavas were just assisting him, that would be perfect. Dhritarashtra ordered that the royal Brahmins go immediately to Varanavata to perform the funeral rites for Kunti and her sons. Along with Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, and the other elders, the king went to the Ganges to offer sacred water to the departed souls. So they went down to the Ganges, which is right there in Hastinapur, and did whatever's their rituals that they're supposed to do. And then the royal Brahmins went to where the bodies are to perform the funeral rites there, because you have both those parts. So generally you have the body there and you perform the rites there, and then the river, then everyone does the rites in the river. So it's one thing, but here, because that's at a distance and they're here, so therefore then the two are done separately. As they stood in the river, they cried out, "O Yudhishthir, O Bhima, O Arjuna." Others called out the names of Kunti and the twins. Thousands of grieving citizens came out of Hastinapur to offer oblations. Sounds of wailing and sorrow filled the air. Bhishma was particularly afflicted as he remembered the young princes, who had always been like sons to him. Right, because they're always so dealing so nice and respectful and all that. So they're just the way they would deal with him as that fatherly figure, and they're just the way someone like Bhishma would want his sons to be. Like Duryodhana and his brothers are not in any way. They don't have that proper respect. They don't deal in that way. Only Vidura did not lament, as he knew the truth. But still, he did not speak about it to anyone. Because right? When you have something as grave as this, something so important, you can't speak to anyone else. You know, by speaking to anyone else, it doesn't help the plan. So you only have to speak to those that will help the plan. Like Vidura spoke to the minor. Right? The minor and spoke to the Pandavas. They know. So that means the Pandavas, their mother, right, so that's six people, the minor seven and Vidura eight. That's all that know about this plan up to this point. You know, and so by telling Bhishma this or that, they'll feel better. Other ones will wonder why and this and that. You know, the news might get out. And then again, Duryodhana will go after them. He knew he could not risk telling even Bhishma, who was always loyal to the king in Hastinapur. So, and here, and then we'll continue with the Pandavas and Kunti when they in their escape plan. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.